a man of God that I really, really honor, and I know most of you also honor. And through his ministry, he's ministered to us once, and we get a ministry from him and his beautiful wife through their beautiful, beautiful children with us every single day. I cannot really thank you enough for giving us Nathan and giving us JJ to come and just play the drums. I don't know what we would do without him playing the drums. Do you appreciate the ministry of Nathan and JJ? Amen. And so with me, please welcome Pastor Julius to come and minister the word of the Lord to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, make him welcome.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I want for Nathan and Israel to come back. You know, whenever we are worshiping, I try to listen to the songs, and then I'll pick one theme song. There's a song I picked, and I'm like, I thank God that they sang that song. The song which says, you do glorious things, you know. You do might think that's the one. There is no one like Jesus. Amen. If you can sing that just one more time, Brother Wood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You do mighty things. You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. You do mighty things, glorious things. You're a faithful God. Awesome is your name. There's no one like you, Jesus. No one like you in all the earth. No one like you. You do mighty things.
You do glorious things. You're a faithful God. No son is your name.
Oh, you do mighty things.
Oh, you do glorious things.
You're a faithful God.
Awesome is your
name. I stand amazed in your presence.
Yes, Jesus.
There is nothing gonna do. Stand amazed in your presence. There is joy, there is joy. Sad hope. Jesus,
there's no one like you in all the earth. There's no one like you, Jesus. No one like you.
Oh, you do mighty things.
You do glorious things.
You're a faithful God. Your son is your name. Awesome is your name. No one like you, Jesus.
No one like you. In all the earth, there's no one like you,
Jesus.
There's no one like you.
You demand. Faithful God, awesome is your name. You do mighty faithful God.
Awesome is your name.
You are a faithful God. And awesome is your name. You are a faithful God.
Awesome is your name.
You are a faithful God.
Awesome is your name. Awesome is the name of the Lord our God. See, the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Also, David said, I'll call upon the name of the Lord who's worthy to be praised. He said, and so shall I be saved from my enemy. Said, for God is alive. Said, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. I'll call upon the name of the Lord who's worthy to be praised. And so shall I be saved from my enemies. You know why? Because my God is alive. Said, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted even this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. We give you the praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one funny thing happened. When was it? It was Wednesday. Pastor is in a truck, you know, driving, and he calls me. He's like, you know what? I can do this to you. You're going to minister on Sunday, you know? And I was like, 2 days to prepare? He said, I know you're going to prepare. I mean, you're going to prepare because it's in and out of season. Amen. In and out of season. As a servant of the Lord, you should always be ready to give it out. Amen. And, you know, he's always thanking us for letting our children come here and minister in this church. But the truth is, you are the ones who've really helped us. You ask my wife, all my kids, even the one who's not with us now, she's in school. They just talk about how they love this church and the people. You know, we never force anyone to come here. When it's time, they just said, we're going to church. In fact, they said, we are going to our church. Esther, the other day, was telling the mother, I said, you know one thing I miss about home is being in that church. That's how much you've blessed our children and you've blessed us. You know, you put these kids straight, and that's what kids need. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just thank the Lord even for allowing us to come today and just be servant and minister to his people. You know, whenever I stand before God's people, one thing which comes in my mind is you are not just talking to people who are not nobodies. You know, you are talking to people whom God cares for, whom God cares about. People were created in his image and after his own likeness. And that gives me fear. That makes me to tremble. That makes me even to seek him and ask him to help me to deliver what he wants for me to deliver to his people. You know, you are precious in his sight. You are awesome in the sight of the Lord. You know, as ministers, this is just, you know, a privilege God accorded us to just come and minister to his people. There is nothing about us. And to tell you the truth is, without him, we can do nothing. There is nothing we can give to you. We totally depend upon him. Amen. And you know, this morning, what I'm trying to do is stay away from preaching. I don't want to preach, I just want to talk. You know, because at times when you try to preach, you can lose people. Amen. I just said, Lord, help me to talk. And the purpose of my talking is I want to communicate that which God wants for you to know. Amen. Before I go anything, thank you, Pastor, for allowing. Thank you, Mrs. Pastor, for allowing us to come here. And I thank my wife, you know. That lady you sing there has put up with this guy a lot. I don't know with Pastor Tony. To tell you the truth, pastors are very difficult people to put up with. Oh, yes, you know, because we think we know everything. She says that you are, no. I'm a man of God. I know what we are doing. We should go this way. But you know what God told me? He said, look, listen to her. Because she's your helpmate anyway. You can't do without her. Amen. The Bible talks about Abraham, you know, and how Abraham's wife messed up. You know, when he asked the husband, you know, because of being desperate, she asked the husband to marry one of the handmaid. And you know what happened when they had that baby, or when the handmaid started to, became, I don't want to use that word, when she was expecting. The Bible says she started to despise a mistress. Is that the right word? Okay. after despising her, you know, she went to Abraham. But you have to understand, this is the lady who gave Abraham the woman. But she went to Abraham and said, I don't want this lady. You know, ask her to just move away. Go somewhere. And Abraham was confused, you know. You gave her to me. Today you come and say, I should ask her to leave. This is difficult for me to do. You know, just like any man of God went to pray, when he was praying, you know what God said? You listen to your wife. Men of God, listen. Listen to your wives. Amen. Amen. Because these are the only friends you have, the friends God has given you. You never find a friend to tell those who are married, you never find a friend than you found in your wife. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I like to talk, you know. Before I go into the message, I wanted to tell a story this morning. This story, there's nothing about like, I want to joke or it's a serious story. I like going on YouTube. Who likes going on YouTube here, on the internet? I go on YouTube because at times I find funny things there, and at times I'm by myself laughing because of the things I see there. But this time I came across a documentary, you know. I'm watching this documentary. I was very touched, and God started to minister to me through the documentary. This documentary goes like this. I don't want to dwell on it long. It goes like this. There was this village, you know where we come from, we have villages. And there was one village in one part of Africa there. It was a very poor village, but you know how God works. He only raised up one person. He raised him up and he prospered that person, made him educated. He became an engineer. And you know, in Africa, when you are an engineer, you are a big man. Wherever you go, everybody will be pointing at you. That's good. There goes an engineer there. This guy prospered so much, and you know what he did? He adopted the whole village. Adopted all the village, and he started to sponsor kids to go to college. And he went on and built a very big hospital. You know, and what he used to do was every year he went there, they would have a meeting, and then he would adopt these kids, like who finished high school, you know, send them to different colleges. And he was doing a noble work. But it happened one time when he was going for that meeting, and there were a lot of people gathering waiting for him because they knew that their children were going to be blessed. Their families will be blessed by this engineer. He's driving from wherever he was staying, going to the village. On the way, he was met by these armed robbers. Stopped his car, got his driver out, got him out, shot him, bah, 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 you know. That's how he died. Now remember, there were people gathering there waiting for this blessing to come. And people were going towards that way, and they were following this man. You know, when armed robbers stop someone and they come out with guns, what we do is start to turn around, you know? Go, some of them, they would turn and start to scamper, running around. But it happened when this guy was shot, they pulled him out of the car and make him and his driver lay out on the road. You know, one thing which really touched my heart, and this is what I know how man today behaves, which is not of God. You know, there were people coming behind him. When he was thrown on, they come there, you know, they get out of the car, looked at this man, gossiping for life. They just look like, no, let's go. We will be late for the meeting. Someone comes, they looked at him, they say, no, we can't. One person called the army post, which was close to where the guy was shot. This army drove, they were about six, they come there, you know. They picked this guy who was a little bit alive, gasping for life, put him in the car. They took him to the hospital. The hospital in the village where he was going. He reached there, unfortunately, the doctor was not there. The one who was running that hospital that day was a matron. You know matrons? Back home. She comes out, she says, look, there's an emergency. There's someone who's brought here, he's gasping for life. He may die at any time. The matron comes, he says, what happened to him? They say, no, he was shot on the way by these robbers. You know what she said? She was like, where is the police report? You know, Africa. We can't do anything to this man unless we get the police report. This army guy was so upset. He's like, what do you mean? This guy is about to die. And you are asking for a police report. She said, yeah, it's procedure. I'm not going to do it. And she went back inside, left this guy lying on a stretcher in the sun, you know, gasping for life. They went there, tried to plead with her. She couldn't do anything. Until after some time when they went, they said, now he's about to die. She comes back. They took this guy inside, you know.
She started to work on him, and she discovered that he had lost a lot of blood. And they needed blood to resuscitate his life. She sends another nurse to the blood bank. The nurse went there and found this guy was in charge of the blood bank, and she's like, hey, there's an emergency. We need 1 pint of blood because there's a person dying here. You know what the guy said? He said, I'm not going to release any blood without an authorization of the doctor. We're not going to do it unless the doctor signs some paper and bring it. Now, you know, these are just women. They became desperate. She ran back. She told the matron, this is what this guy has said. The matron went there. Instead of getting the blood, they started to argue. But remember, there is someone who's gasping for life. He said, I can't release this. I'm responsible of this. You know, he also mentioned the procedure said A, B, C, D. They tried to send someone to fetch for the doctor. The doctor was, no, to cut this long story short, suddenly the doctor came back. When the doctor came, they told him there is an emergency. He ran into the emergency room. They found this guy lying on that stretch and about to die. The doctor looked at him, he's like, man, this guy has lost too much blood. Can someone go and get blood from the blood bank? Say, doctor, you need to sign some paper because this guy will not release the blood. The doctor became, you know, angry, ran towards the blood bank there. When he reached there, he found the guy had gone and locked the door. He's like, what? He tries everything. That's the only guy who had keys, you know? The doctor did it. When he was about to go, then this guy came, you know, staggering. He went first, you know, to get some before he started to. He's like, why didn't you give the matron blood? But doctor, the procedure goes like, you know. The doctor said, you are fired, bring the keys. But when he got the keys from him, he was just about to open the door. Someone came running. He's serious inside. Instead of getting the blood, he just, you know, gave the keys back. He said, you go get the blood and come into the. By the time he was getting there, he found out that the guy passed on. But one funny thing, you know, the doctor was also depending upon that guy to sponsor a child. The matron also was depending upon that, but they didn't know it was him. Everyone in the village, they were depending, like, when this guy comes, our kids are going to school. Because if, in fact, the other hospital he built, that was the day they were going to open it. All the dignitaries, the chiefs, they were there waiting for this man. And they're like, why is he not coming? You know, this is not him. Whenever he's having a meeting, he's the first person to be here. But even the people were saying that passed on this guy when he was shot. Suddenly, one person came from hospital, you know. I mean, went to the hospital and identified the body. He went back running and told this village people, he said, oh, you know, the guy you are waiting for, he died. He was shot by the robbers. Now, remember, there were people at the meeting who passed on this person when he was lying on the road. You know, they just started to cry. They were crying. This one is, why did I do this? Maybe if I could have helped this person, the very time I saw him, he would be here. And it was like chaos, you know, in the camp. I want for you to keep that in your heart, because my message will go in those lines. And I know there are people here who like titles of messages for you to understand where someone is going. And the title of the message this morning is, you will never know who's holding your blessing. You will never know. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. We'll read from verse 1, just a few verses there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. The Bible reads, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers. By so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You hear what the Bible says? Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain who? People you don't even know. That's why you say people you don't even know. Because by doing so, you may end up at times entertaining someone who has your blessing. You may end up receiving a blessing. But you know, I've discovered something today in church, and I'm not going to go outside the church. When we were here, I heard the pastor praying. When he was praying, the things he was mentioning, I'm like, did this man read my mind or not? Today in church, there is a lot of arrogance. You know that? There is a lot of arrogance. Today in church, everyone wants to be there. Everyone wants to be there. No one is ready to serve. You go around the churches, even titles now have changed. Everyone, every Jim and Jack wants to be called Bishop what? He's an apostle. You know, these big names of the Bible. You know why? Because we've twisted the gospel. We've twisted why Jesus came here and we've taken it otherwise. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says when Jesus came here, he's talking to his disciples. You know what he said? He said, I did not come here to be saved. I came here to what? Save. You know the truth. I'm not only talking to you. I'm also talking to myself. Because this is the problem I've faced a lot of time. Whereby you go to some places, you always want for people to recognize you. Oh, there comes a man of God. Oh, there comes the minister. When they say he's a minister, you even, you know what, grow horns, for lack of a better word. We grow horns. Because just by calling us minister, we think like we are better than the people. But listen to me closely. At times we behave that way because we don't even understand the meaning of the titles that we've been given. Lack of understanding of the titles. Minister, you think when you are minister, you start to think the way the worldly people think. When someone is a minister is coming, everybody will flock to where they are coming. People, ladies will be there relating, you know, our minister is coming. Mentality of Africa, you know that? That's what we think, but that's not Christianity. When you are called a minister, the truth is you are called to be, to minister. And you know, the word minister means servant. And when you are a servant, you know, you don't choose who to serve. You serve anyone in the household of the Lord. Starting from that little one to the elders, you have to serve them the same. Look, I'll tell a testimony. Some of the people here heard what had happened to me. How that I was taken to the hospital. You are seeing a person who is a living miracle. I went to the hospital for some time. I was coming here. Many people didn't even know that I had a problem, you know. I was on dialysis for 3 solid years. Always, for the people who work in the medical field, you understand. That's not a very easy process. Every time I go there, I'll go home beaten. You know what I mean? It will take 2 days, 3 days for me to recuperate. And I went there 3 times a week. And each time I go there, I was on a machine for 4 hours. And you know, in my heart, I was like, Lord, why am I going through this? Why can't you just take away this pain, you know? In fact, I was believing God to just do it, you know, like he had sent manna in those days, perform a miracle. I prayed for 3 years. Going into the 4th year or the end of the 3rd year, you know what God did? That's when my mentality was changed. I was called like, hey, we have found a matching for you, a kid in matching for you. Went to the hospital. The first thing which came into my heart was, I want to know the person who has donated this kidney to me. I went there, I asked the doctors, who did this? They said, we don't tell, we can't tell you. We haven't even given the person who did this your address. We can't even give you his address. You can't talk to them. We don't want for them to know you. We don't even want you to know them. Just receive this kidney. Now, I want for you to see this. I was hoping for God to perform a miracle in a certain way. But God taught me something. You know that? That's why I gave them the title of the message today, that you never know who holds your blessing. Because I don't even know this person. It could be a person, when they were in trouble, I really passed by. You know what I mean? It could be a person, maybe we had even had an argument together. A person maybe I could have even looked down upon. It could have been a person I had no regard for. You know what I mean? A person, you know, those person, the downtrodden people we look upon, it could be one of them. I do not know them. And I started to ask the Lord, what is this that you are trying to show me? You know what God told me? He said, look, you need to start to respect people. No matter their status in society, no matter how they look, No matter how young or old or big they are, you need to respect them. Respect them for nothing. Know that they are created in my image and after my own likeness. Among his creation, listen to me, there is no one that man God took time when he was creating. I'm thinking about it. I'm like, Lord, this is true what you are communicating to me. Very, very true. We need to respect people. I'll go to scripture very soon. Do you know that when God was creating things, we've read the Bible. He just spoke and they came to be. That's why the Bible says, I can quote it, says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The Bible says, and the earth was without form or void. But there was the Spirit of the Lord hovering upon what? The surface of the water. And then God spoke. It came to be. Let there be light, the light was there. Let there be this, that was there. But when it came to create man, do you know what God said? The Bible says, let us. That was not a singular word. It was plural. Let us create man in our own image, after our own likeness. You came from plural, not singular. You came from fellowship and not one person. When God was creating you and me, listen, according to scripture, there were three people working on you. Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. God told me, say, you have to understand that I did not create you so that you become independent. No. I created you so that you become what? Interdependent. Even when he created man, to go further, you know what he says? He said, God thought it not good for man to be alone. That's when he went, you know, he said, he caused this man to sleep. He took the rib and created the woman. And when man saw that, you know what he said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Man was so excited because he had a partner. He had someone he knows he can lie upon. Someone he can fellowship with. Amen. You never know who can be holding your blessing. And God, you know, told me, he said, tell my people to begin to change their attitudes. There is no need for you and me to be looking upon other people less than we are. There is no need for you to start to look down upon other people. In fact, in your prayer, Pastor, I heard you quoting Philippians chapter 2. Paul is talking to his church at Philippi. He talks to people and says, you know, you're going to bless me if your mind become like-minded. You know, you're going to bless me if you start to think about, if you start to think good about one another. I'm trying to paraphrase this. And he went, he said, let this mind which was in Christ be also where? In you. The Bible says, Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, he humbled himself and chose to become a servant. Our Lord Jesus. And Paul went on and said, you know, if you want to be like him, you must start to esteem other people better than you are. Amen. Just because someone is coming into the church by the door with torn pants, you know, they don't have a tie, I mean, they look scruffy, you know what I mean? Don't dare look as if nothing good can ever come to them. I mean, from them. I'm just going to associate myself to the people who look clean. You know what I mean? Yeah, I may have the... Listen. In this world, you can see me coming with a suit. I mean, good shoe. I'm coming there. You look at me and say, these are the people we want to associate with. But the truth may be there is nothing you get from me. There's nothing you may get. You may get enough and a lot of things from that person who's coming with a torn t-shirt in church. You understand what I'm saying here? We should learn to respect one another, esteem one another. He says, better than esteeming others better than you are. It's in Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Are you getting something this morning? Look, and I'm telling you, because of wrong attitudes we have, we've missed a lot of blessings. Some of you, you've been praying for God to do something. You've prayed for so many years, but God had brought that thing before you and you've decided to pass it. Because, you know, it did not look the way you think your blessing should come. We've passed by a lot of blessings. Oh, man, you see, someone is coming with a Lexus. You want to be cross to them. If someone pulls in with that Biro, you know the Biro, beaded Biro, say, oh, nothing good can come from that one, man. I don't need those people. But, you know, it. In fact, the Bible says this big blessing, they come from small packages. That Beetle can bring a blessing to you than the one in the Lexus. You know, God taught me a lesson. Up to today, you see me today laughing, gaining strength every day. I don't even know where my kidney came from. I don't know. And I believe it may not be from that huge guy of Gynon. Maybe it could have been even the person I thought nothing good can ever come from them. Do you know, even when Jesus was born, people had the same attitude. They are talking about Jesus to be the one coming, or the Savior is coming from where? Bethlehem. You know what they said? Nothing good can ever come from. But you know where the Savior came? The Savior of the whole world decided to go and be born in a small village, the overlooked village, the village which people never even thought about, the despised village, the village that was looked down upon. He decided to come from that village. I was reading the Bible, you know, in the book of Matthew chapter 5. You can go and from chapter 20 going down. I'm reading the Bible and it talks about attitude. You know, when you read chapter 5, the Beatitudes, Jesus was talking about attitudes. That's why he was saying, blessed is the man who's like this because they will inherit heaven. It's just attitude. And I came across verse Chapter 5, verse 20, you know what it says there? Can I just go to it and you listen to what it says? Matthew chapter 5, starting from verse 20. Starting from 20, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, Lord, help me. Just bear with me. These glasses. Okay, 20, I find it. It says, For I say unto you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes, and who? The Pharisees, you will not. He said, you will by no means enter the kingdom of. Those who are Bible scholars, do you know where the Pharisees of the scribes? Those are the people who always wear robes. And you know they wear robes because for the purpose that way, when they are seen going through some street, people should fear, you know? And say, oh, these are the ones who are educated. These are the ones, you know, who expounds the word of God. They just did that in order for people to recognize. Wherever they go, you know the chairs they were given. In my language, we say they are given the upper mwamba chairs, you know, the top seats. It's in this church, you know, I come and I've never seen some God chair in front here. The chairs of the scribes and the Pharisees. I've been to churches where you go there. I mean, immediately you enter there, you look at this a man of God, you begin to feel small. You know what I mean? Just look where they are sitting there. A chair coated with gold and you look at this robe they are wearing. I mean, it's so coated with gold, with some big gold, you know, cross on their chest. There, you look at them, you'll be like, man, this is the real man of God. I mean, you'll be like, man, these are the untouchables, you know. You don't touch this person. These are the people the Bible says, do not touch my anointed, nor do harm to my prophets. These are the people. I don't want to be like that. I want to abide in my calling. Pastor is enough to me. I don't want to be called a bishop. No. I don't even want to be called Pope. No, I'm not Pope. I'm just a child of God who's called to save. Amen. Amen. When God gives me an opportunity to serve, I want to serve. Amen. I can go through the Bible, you know. When Paul was teaching the church at Corinth, he's talking about the gifts. He says, you know why the Holy Spirit gives you gifts? He gives you gifts so that other people you are fellowshipping with can be benefit from it. Yes. In fact, the Bible says these gifts you are given according to King James, he says, you are given so it can profit with all. After I change that, I look at myself as a gift from the Almighty God. Whenever I enter church, you know what? I want for people to look at me that here comes a gift to the body of Christ. Amen. I do not just come to be saved or sit on my chair so that they just pour blessings on. I want to be a blessing. In my private prayers, I'm praying to the Lord. You know what I tell the Lord? Lord, make me a blessing. Touch somebody's life through my life. Lord, help someone through me. That's the prayer I've always made to the Lord. My Lord and my God. I want to be a... You know what, Brother Ben? When you see me, I just want to find ways of becoming a blessing to you. Because if that's my attitude... And that's the attitude of Ben. Whenever we meet, you know what? It will be a very strong team. We will become a very strong team. The enemy will not destroy us. But one time this pastor was talking to me. He said, you know what? The problem we have in church today, and I'll never forget what he said, is it? The church today, they know how to destroy their casualties. He says, the church is an army that knows how to destroy or finish their casualties. And then he said, you must learn from the way the Jews conduct their battles. He told me, you know, when the Jews are fighting, One of them is injured, they will not leave that person in the battlefield. They will pick their casualty, work on them. If someone is dead, they will pick that person, go give them a very good burial. So, but the church is not like that. They just look, you know, it's like the story about the Jericho Road, you know, the Good Samaritan. You know, who passed by that person? The priests. We can't touch blood. You know what I mean? Why touching blood? We are the important people. I can't go visit that person because I know they will not even give me a cup of water. No. The Bible says, esteeming others better than. Amen. Maybe in closing, I'll quote one scripture. And today I'll focus on us, servants of the Lord. Don't worry, because I'm one of them. There is a story in the Bible, one of the Gospels there. When Matthew says the mother of Zebedee, you know, the two Zebedees, and Luke says the two sons of Zebedees. You know what the Bible says there? It says that these guys, because they were longing to be there, you know, to be recognized by the society, and they liked what Jesus was doing. At times they saw Jesus being worshipped, you know what I mean? And they exactly needed that. The Bible says they went to Jesus. And they asked, Master, can you please allow that one of us sit on your right hand and the other sit on your left hand? When they were saying, remember there were the other 10 disciples there. And Jesus looked at them, he says, you guys, are you able to bear the cup that I'm going to bear? They say, yes, Lord, we can do that. He said, okay, I know you can bear the cup you're going to bear. I'm going to bear. But the choosing of who is going to sit on my right and left is not within my power. But, you know, Jesus being God, he had already discerned what was going on through the other 10. And the Bible says when they say that, these other 10 were moved with indignation. They were so mad that if they had an opportunity, they could have killed, you know, these two disciples who asked that. As that word means, it's a big word, indignation. They were moved with rage. How can they ask this? Don't they know that even Jesus knows it's me? That's my position. How can they do this? But Jesus said, you guys, you don't even know what they are asking for. You don't know. He said, you know, the truth in my kingdom, those who will be greatest should be the one who are ready to serve. If you want to be the greatest in the kingdom, be prepared to serve. Story goes on, Jesus, you know what? He wanted to demonstrate to them. Even before he left, you know what he did? The Bible says he got the basin and the towel, you know? Disciples are sitting there. He started to wash their feet. When he was washing their feet, one of the disciples with wrong mentality of following Jesus stood up. Said, Lord, you can't wash my feet. I've never seen it in this fashion. The Lord washing my feet? Not. It's not supposed to be like that. These other guys are supposed to wash your feet. You know what Jesus said? He said, look, if you refuse for me to wash your feet, you have no part in my kingdom. When he said that, Mr. Peter, he said, Lord, then don't just wash my feet. Wash the whole body. You know, I like Peter. Peter was so quick to repent. Whenever rebuked, he would be there repenting, ready to change. Oh, no, Lord, you know what? Wash my... And Jesus is just trying to teach us something. And you know what he said? He said, if I, your master, the one you call Lord, can do this, what more you? What more you? He is there, you know, he called after his second coming is going. He calls Peter. Peter, come with me. You know, John the Beloved, he said, I'm not remaining, I'll fall. Peter turns. He saw John following. You know what? It's like, hey, man, he did not call you. Why are you following? Why are you following? And Jesus said, Peter, man, is it your problem for him to follow me? If I want, I'll let this guy to live in all of his life until I come back. Jesus understood man very well. And then he turned, he started to ask Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Second time, Peter, do you love me? I know, Lord, you know. Feed my lamb. The third time he asked, Peter got upset. Hey, Lord, you know what? You are the Lord, you're supposed to know everything. Why are you asking me? It's coming out. You know what the Bible says? This is Jesus. It says the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces and divides asunder the bone and the marrow. It's the word of the Lord that reveals the intentions of the heart of man. When Jesus spoke, he is the word. Do you know that? Then the truth just came out of them. He got upset. You know, because the mentality he had was, I want to be boss over them. Oh my God. And you know what? If we change our attitudes towards one another, we'll become a very strong team. You know, even the worldly people understand. United we do what? Divided, Just imagine, Pastor, if you look at me, you say, ah, there comes a servant of the Lord. I look at you, there comes a servant of the Lord. You know what we'll do there? I know he's prepared to serve me. He knows I'm prepared to serve him. We'll be lacking nothing. You know what? Nothing. It's a very long. I can go on and just bring scripture after scripture to make you understand. But time will not allow us. What am I trying to say today? When you come in a fellowship like this, please come with an attitude of a servant. Be ready all the time to save. When the pastor said, I want someone to lift the table, I want to see six people running towards that. When he said, I want someone to lift the table, that's when you make that. Is it for, what do you call it? You fold your legs. You just ask him to go and do that. I'm a man of God, you know. Look the way I'm looking. I'm not supposed to touch that. You are missing your blessing. You're just passing by where your blessing. It will be like that person they left lying on the road. No one wanted to attend to him. If they had known that that was the rich guy, everybody could have flocked, you know, try to help him. But because they didn't know who was doing the good in the, they passed by him. They let the blessing die. My Lord, I can go and mention, James, what we do in churches today. When we see those guys with rings, and we want for them to sit in the front. And James says, you know what? Those are the people who give you problems. And the people you make to sit, you know, on your feet, those are the people I want to be in church. Anyway, you know what? I'm changing. I want to be a true servant of the Almighty God. I want to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. I want to become Christ-like. When they call me a Christian, that's what they mean. There goes a Christian. What they are saying, there goes someone who looks like Christ. Amen. I'm an ambassador of the kingdom of God. I represent that kingdom. And I want to be a true representative of that kingdom. You know, in closing, before I came here, I was thinking there, I'm like, can I make this joke? I'll just make it. You know, Bashiesta is like that. I'll make this joke. You know what I wanted to say there? I wanted to say those who want special prayers, you know, that's what is going on. If you want a special prayer, can you give $10,000? That's what we are doing, Pastor, in church. There are people who deserve special prayers because they have money. Oh, yeah, because they have money, special prayer. I'm sitting in this church and this guy is saying, yes, those who need special prayers, please, can you, if you give 200 or 10,000, I'm going to pray a special prayer for you. And I'm like, how about the people without money? Don't they need special prayer? And I'm like, then us who are poor, I don't know whether we'll be prayed for. I don't, that's what is going on. And open your eyes. I will not be wrong to stop you from going to churches like that. They're just robbing you. You know, in the eyes of the Lord, we are all special. We all need special prayers. Whether you have money or not, you need special prayer. My Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. The other day I was talking to my friend. You know, I've made friends here. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I've made friends in your pastor, I made friend here. I made friend in Julius, you know, my namesake. I can go and Ben there has just become a friend. Pastor Kayanja, you know, Karanja, I'm sorry. You're just friends, amen. And I know you're not involved in this gimmicks going on. I always tell my wife, I'm not going to join the team of gimmickers. You know, if there's that word like that. Those people who do gimmicks in pulpits, no. I don't want to miss heaven, you know. Because the relationship I have with Jesus is very personal. I don't want someone to drag me into things I know this can make me or hinder me get to heaven. I know everybody needs special prayer here. Amen. You are all children of the Almighty God. Whether you have or you have not, when God looks at you, he smiles at you just like he smiles at the poor just as like he smiles at the rich. And listen to me. God has made you rich so that through you, he can be glorified when you help that poor. In Jesus' name, Pastor Eugenio.
Do you love it?